Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day.
Sometimes I'm right, and I could be wrong. My own beliefs are in my song. Picture, banker, drummer, and then makes no difference what group I'm in. I am everyday people. Yeah, yeah.
Time to start the morning show here at WFHR 97.5 FM 1320 AM. Have your host James joined by our WFHR head producer Laura.
Hi.
And the best listeners in radio.
That's you.
Thanks for being here, everybody. Hope you're having a great start to your Thursday out there. Happy Friday Eve.
Mm-hmm.
We got great things on the way for you this hour. We're in the next hour too.
It's true.
I like the this hour. Next hour,
We are starting with the pet of the week though, so we've at least got that going for
we
us next
know
hour.
That
hey?
Is going to be good. We
yeah,
know that
right.
will be. In hour two, we'll also get into some entertainment news. We've got some other fun topics we'll dive into, especially if you are planning to dress up for Halloween for work. We got some tips for you.
Well, let me tell you, I finally figured out a costume, so I happen to be planning to dress up for work.
All right.
It's completely inappropriate. Thank goodness we don't have any guests for the Rapids Report. I'm kidding.
Perfect. Did a listener help you, or did you figure you did it on your own, didn't you?
I basically did it on my own.
Right
yeah,
on,
I texted
right
Melissa a little bit, but mostly I did it on my own, yeah.
Great minds work together. That's awesome. That's good to hear. Looking forward to that. That's going to be fun. Awesome. It is no surprise what I am. I'm boring. But I am looking forward to doing that tomorrow, and I'm very, very much looking forward to seeing if we can get Seth to dress up.
Oh, are you coming as a tired DJ?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
You're
so good at this. We got this hour some fun things to get into, of course. The El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. I've been trying to get to this topic all week. Halloween costume prices.
Okay.
Want to talk about that a little bit.
Absolutely.
Also, are Halloween decorations getting too scary? We'll touch on that.
Oh.
And as we are getting ready for our Pet of the Week, as Laura touched on earlier, how many people think that pets enjoy wearing Halloween costumes?
I think that is individual to the pet, but let's discuss.
We have a bit of a percentage of survey on that one we will get into, but we begin with our National Day of Calendar, and today is National Candy Corn Day.
Okay.
Celebrated with this with Seth earlier.
I was going to say, you should be celebrating this with Seth.
Right.
Listen, I will eat one handful of candy corn a year and be good. I'm the same way with black olives, though. I will literally eat like 5 black olives in a year and be good.
I think my dad's the only one I've seen do this. Will you do this? And I only ask because of the way you worded it.
Okay.
He'll take a handful and he'll just throw them in his mouth.
Yes.
Okay, because I feel like I've always seen people eat them individually, and I don't know. There's no
sometimes
wrong way to do
it. I do that, and sometimes I'll eat, you know, half of the handful individually and then give up and just have a giant gob of candy corn in my mouth in a few seconds. Yeah.
It's no wrong way.
It hurts, but it's worth it.
Yeah.
That's part of why it's the only handful.
So today is National Candy Corn Day, and so you may be wondering, what are we eating? What is this stuff? DoorDash and Instacart have both released reports on our Halloween candy buying preferences, and there are some similarities and differences.
All right.
Both lists have Reese's Peanut Butter Cups as the number one Halloween candy. We discussed that earlier this
week.
Followed by M&M's, Hershey Milk Chocolate, and out of the top three.
Okay.
Those made the top 10 on both lists. I'm sorry. Those made both the top 10 lists for Instacart and DoorDash.
All right.
And so did Snickers, Kit Kat, Twix, and Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
On DoorDash, people are also ordering Skittles, Nerds, and Airheads.
Okay.
On Instacart, people are ordering Milky Way and Hasbro Golden Bears, gummy bears, I guess?
The gummy bears, yeah. The Haribo.
Haribo. Thank you. Haribo. I love that brand. I should know that. That's a great brand of gummy bear. On the DoorDash map, the number one Halloween candy in each state, the West is more likely to pick Snickers and Red Vines. More likely to have Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, Twizzlers, and Laffy Taffy.
Okay.
The South likes Sweet Smiles brand candy, Trolleys, Skittles, that thing.
Okay,
sort
sure.
of thing.
Yeah.
And the Northeast likes a little of everything, including Airheads and Sour Patch Kids.
Okay.
We will take a look at the... So Wisconsin, if you're wondering, lands in the Twizzlers area. But Laffy Taffy is right there with it.
That's fair.
That's
a very
close
right.
second. Let's in the South likes Lifesavers, Sour Patch Kids, and Three Musketeers. In the Northwest likes Hershey's, Milk Chocolate, M&M's, and Sour Patch Kids.
All right.
DoorDash Map, zero states are liking candy corn.
Okay.
Zero states bad candy corn on any other list.
It's just not popular anymore. I will say, though, unsung hero of that list that wasn't listed enough times, a Three Musketeers bar. I know it's simple. It's just a nougat covered in chocolate, but like, there's something about it that just hits. Anyway.
Every day, it feels like, there are new candies coming out.
Sure.
And I don't just mean like a new flavor of Twix. I mean like a brand new candy.
Yeah.
You know, that's coming out and everything. It's kind of amazing to think of the candies that were big when we were born, mm-hmm. like both of us and both of our generations and everything,
yeah.
are still incredibly popular now.
Yeah, they are. They're a classic for a reason kind of thing.
They haven't been toppled yet.
Well, and a lot of the new candies that we see coming out, a lot of them are like a sugar-free alternative to the same thing, right? Like, how many different, like, independent brands of sour gummy have you seen recently? Like, so many.
We really haven't come up with a new candy bar. Like, a good new candy bar that's, like, sweeping the nation or anything.
The whatchamacallit is doing fine.
Yeah, that's kind of wild when you think about it. We've done a lot of conversating about this month about candy mm-hmm. and how much we spend on candy a year, not just on Halloween, but all that.
Yeah.
And all that said, and this list is no different than 5 years ago, 10 years ago, really. I mean, it's some interchanging here and there, but your big dogs are still at the top of the list. That's really wild to think about if you really just look at it separately as its own thing. We really like our candy. Like
they haven't messed up the recipe, you know? Like it's been consistent enough that it's staying at the top.
How many industries are like that? Like how many, you know, that stayed that way? That's really wild to me to think mm-hmm. of. And it's got to be maddening if you work in that industry, too.
A little bit. Because it's kind of like, where do we grow from here?
Yeah, yeah.
How can we do better?
That's wild. But that's not, so zero states want candy corn, but that's not the case on the Instacart report. They have four states where candy corn is uniquely popular.
Tell me.
They are Nebraska, Kansas, Mississippi, and Alabama.
Oh, that checks out.
So that's interesting because they're all kind of, I mean, not too far apart, but they're middle of the states,
kinda, or
middle
yeah.
of the country, I mean, sort of thing. Yeah. Yeah, interesting. So there are I wonder if there's any correlation or just coincidence or whatever it is. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
So there are states to avoid if candy corn gives you nightmares, or there are states to add to your bucket list if you are a candy corn fiend.
All right.
Wherever the case may
be. Who's traveling to Nebraska to eat candy corn?
Well, I hope Beth is listening because I feel like her and the boys may be dragged by Seth to somewhere, one of these four states we just mentioned there.
If that happens, he's crazy for that.
We know this man. It wouldn't shock
nonsense.
You. It wouldn't shock you. What about different flavors of candy corn? I was looking this one
up. I like the other flavors. If I had to pick.
Have you seen some of the wild flavors that there are out there?
I've seen some of them. I know there's like a caramel apple. I usually get that one.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's what got me thinking about this. Mm-hmm. I saw an apple pie one, and I thought that was really... I didn't try it, but I want to try it. It sounded really good. There's a s'mores one that sounds kind of good. That seems interesting. Carrot cake, for some reason, seems interesting to me. Birthday cake. That's popular right now, the birthday cake flavor and everything. Yeah. Anything that has birthday cake flavor, my mother will eat. She loves that flavor right now. There's a blackberry cobbler.
Ooh.
It's a little tempting.
That one
sounds real
good. I'll give that one a go.
Bacon.
No.
No. I love bacon, but no.
I'm going to guess they went like maple-y with it, but like...
Ooh, now a maple candy corn I would try.
But I bet it's like a smoky maple with salt.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, there is a maple syrup one. There's a sweet maple flavor with some that I've found unappealing. Okay, so
maple-y. It's too sweet. It's just too... Yeah.
So that's on a list of ones that have not sold very well, like jalapeno, raspberry lemonade... And cinnamon.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Those apparently are ones.
No, that makes sense to me.
But like right above that have sold fairly well, but not that well. Bacon, as I mentioned. Mac and cheese.
No. Oh, no.
Pickle.
Oh, no.
Sour cream and onion.
Why?
And the one that I don't know why, but just made me revolt the most, hot dog.
What? Oh!
Hot dog, hot dog,
oh,
hot
dog. Why?
A hot dog flavored candy corn is not something I want in my trick or treat basket.
All of that. So much.
This is, none of those really sounded very good to me.
You guys can't see my face.
No,
but
no,
it's.
But
oh.
She's. I don't know that she's going to. It's going to be an hour at least before she calms down from that one. That is some
that
weird
hurt my feelings.
There are Nerds candy corn that seem kind of interesting.
I would eat that.
That seems kind of interesting.
That almost. I'm feeling better. Let's keep going.
I'm going to try to. Yeah, I'm trying to swing it back around here. There's. I said birthday candy. The blackberry cobbler does sound interesting.
It does, but honestly, I still think the caramel apple is the most interesting flavor, and that's the one I get.
And on Reddit and Facebook, I was not looking for these, but I just randomly came across like big, huge like groups and pages dedicated to defending candy corn. Like there is a very big group.
You got to have something to be passionate about, I guess.
They are. I just glanced at
good
it.
Good for them.
So much of it was in explanation points, like capitals and everything.
It takes every kind, doesn't it? It, guys.
What is your favorite flavor? Is there a flavor out there that we didn't mention that you think should be mentioned? Please let us know. Hit us up. We'd love to hear
from
you, everybody.
Although the carrot cake one does sound interesting.
Yes. Yeah. That one does. I don't know what it is, but something about that does sound pretty good to me.
Because it'll be, you know, a little bit spicy. It'll be sweet. It'll be a good one.
A couple of notes that I wanted to get to in the opening monologue here. One of them, for those that have not heard, the our good friends over at the Save of the Arts.
At the Southwick County Arts Council.
Mm-hmm. Had to let us know that the U.S. Navy Premier Jazz Ensemble is not going to be able to be performing in here in Rapids.
Yeah.
That had to be canceled. The show, I encourage people to look into why it was canceled. I think that's important, but it unfortunately will not be performing, so I think that's a shame.
Mm-hmm.
The
people who bought tickets will be getting refunded, I presume?
Yes, that is definitely,
Reach out to the folks via SavorTheArts.com for more information if you happen to be someone who purchased a ticket.
Yeah, I believe this was a free show.
No,
it wasn't?
Think so.
I must be thinking of something else. But yes, I encourage you to reach out to Savor the Arts. You can do that at SavorTheArts.com. Head on over there right now to find out more information. But hopefully they're able to reschedule or something and get them in town. Because, man.
Those always go so well.
Oh, and if you've ever gotten to see any military band.
Any. The Army band, the Air Force bands, the Navy bands, they're all so good.
If you like precise, like, you know, music,
so good.
Like, oh man, they're good. They're good. And also wanted to mention, as far as we're talking about our friends over at the Arts Council, that they've got an amazing show coming up next month, the mm-hmm. Doo-Wop Project. We got to hang out and talk with them a little bit on the Rapids Report. It was a great time. The Arts Council of Southwick County is presenting an amazing show Thursday, November 6th, 7:30, right at the PAC. You can be sure to get your tickets at Savor the Arts. Check out this amazing group that duopify modern hits and everything. And
very cool
you will
stuff.
Learn a lot about that. Not only that but that, what we mean by that. And again, get your tickets at SavorTheArts.com or call up.
715-424-2600.
Let us know, I don't know, what are your favorite like old R&B songs or doo-wop songs or
and
bands?
And these are not just random dudes singing this. We're talking Broadway caliber talent, and I'm not exaggerating.
Nope.
They literally have been on Broadway singing doo-wop.
Yeah. Yeah, this is a
really cool opportunity.
It's so awesome to have this right here in town. You don't have to travel 2 hours to see this or anything. Mm-hmm. You're just going right over downtown to the Performing Arts Center to check out Doo-Wop, the Doo-Wop Project.
They're coming to Little Old Rapids.
Give us a call and get these tickets at 715-424-2600. Big shout out to Sally Kistner and the gang for getting us these tickets. We appreciate it. Laura and I will be back with the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club on The Morning Show. Had to get that keyboard in there.
Yeah, you did.
Welcome back, everybody, to The Morning Show. And it's time for the El Cafe Birthday and Anniversary Club. One of our favorite parts of the day. We get to talk about you, talk about our great friends over at El Cafe.
Yeah.
Treat yourself. Get on over to 221 Market Avenue in beautiful Port Edwards. Wish them a great day from all of us. Keep in mind, not only do they got great lunch specials and all of these kind of things, but the pie.
Oh, the pie.
These aren't normal slices either.
Like, no, of course not. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, they're are great. Go for it, everybody. Get yourself. You deserve a slice of pie.
You deserve it.
Whoever you are, whatever you are doing, you have earned it.
I don't need to know the details.
Nope.
You've earned that pie.
That's your business. Just get some pie.
Mm-hmm.
Have some and enjoy and wish them a good morning from all of us here at WFHR.
Absolutely.
Get us those birthdays and anniversaries so we can celebrate with you. Info at WFHR.com. Direct message us on our Facebook pages and call on up.
715-424-2600. You can also text us using the Civic Media app.
Looking forward to talking with you, everybody. I look at my list here, and Laura, I need you to do some work. I need a one or a two.
One.
Okay, that worked out. We got ourselves our qualifier.
All right.
First up, we want to wish a very happy birthday to Civic Media's own Calvin Butford. Butenhoff.
Calvin Butenhoff. He was the producer for Matt and Air on Air for a while.
Yeah.
I think he may still be doing it.
Actually, I was going to say, I think he is still. Yeah, Calvin's great. I like Calvin a lot. I've talked to him a little bit here and there and everything.
Yeah,
and
I talked to him a bit too.
I believe that Calvin knows that I have dyslexia. That's what happened there. I apologize, Calvin. But the letters got really mixed around on me there.
That's all right.
I don't think I've ever seen his last name, though. I don't know that I have.
Oh, that's fair,
I don't
know.
At least written out. I've heard it, but I don't think I've seen it written out. Anyway, Calvin, enjoy your birthday.
Enjoy your birthday, Calvin.
He's great. He's one of our better especially better young producers we have around here.
And we have a good handful of young producers on the team. It's really cool. It's a pleasure to work
with
you.
You're one of them.
What?
We also wish
a I'm young?
Well, to me.
Yeah.
And we wish a very happy birthday on our local list to Cody Olson.
Oh, happy birthday, Cody.
Enjoy the day, Cody. Hope it's a good one for
mm-hmm.
you. And our qualifier who can actually, our qualifier today who can qualify now because he doesn't technically work here anymore.
Oh.
Although after working here for as long as he did, kind of always family, Dave Mueller.
Oh, happy birthday, Dave. Congratulations.
Former sports broadcaster and on-air personality, Dave did a number of different things over the years here at WFHR for a good stretch of time. And for especially when I came back to, a good 10 years ago, Dave and Randy were the only people. Well, Bob did games too, but it was mainly those two covering so much of our high mm-hmm. school sports to the point where those guys were working back to back to back days, oftentimes, sometimes back to back games. Dave was nice enough to invite me into the booth with him for a game, so I've gotten to call two football games,
sure.
and thanks to him and Randy, and it was fantastic. And also, I did it in part to help out, but also to learn the job a little bit because I was running the board back then.
And I bet it was fun.
Oh my God, it was an amazing time. It was also insane.
Mm-hmm.
It's insane what those guys do.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people are used to the broadcasters on TV who got like a producer in their ear and they got a tech guy and they got a guy looking up stats for them and all this.
Mm-hmm.
These guys, Randy, Dave, Michael right now, Bob down there in Madison.
They just have to have it.
They do it themselves, man.
Mm-hmm.
And Dave was a master at this. Great tone, too. Great
awesome.
Tone, great presentation. I enjoy Dave. I miss Dave around here a little bit. And I hope he's enjoying himself. And you're
happy
our qualifier,
birthday,
Dave.
Congratulations.
Who do you share your birthdays with?
Yes.
We take a look at the list. Ashley Graham is 38 today.
Oh, okay.
A wonderful model for Sports Illustrated
sure.
and some things
yeah.
some years back.
Okay. Yeah.
She was one of those ones that was kind of trying to change the game of modeling
mm-hmm.
a little bit
mm-hmm.
more. I don't like the term.
She was a curvier model.
Thank you. Yes. I kind of branched that off to do a lot of mm-hmm. good projects for people and
yeah.
communities and
yeah.
stuff.
I'm pretty sure she has a clothing line now, too.
That's right, yeah. Wonderful actor. Not a household name or anything, but she was on our show and West Coast Justice. That never saw the light of day, but she was also on a couple of other great shows. Dirk Bentley, Gently, Chucky. She was on the Chucky TV
mm-hmm.
series. Fiona Dorf is 44. Great,
okay.
great actor. Great
yeah.
actor. And a really good friend. Somebody's you know, still able to talk to in the industry. She's great. Nia Long is great. She's 55.
Ooh.
Will's girlfriend Lisa on The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. I think that's where a lot of people
mm-hmm.
got to know her. She was Shay in NCIS.
Mm-hmm.
She's been in a couple of things.
Yeah.
Gavin Rosdale is 60.
Ooh.
Wow.
The frontman of Bush.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But 60 for, wow.
That's older than I was expecting.
Me too.
Good for him.
Didn't see that coming.
That face has held up longer than we realized.
Yeah. Wow.
Holy cats.
Him and, so I am.
For a long time, he was with Gwen Stefani.
Yeah. I've never been a Bush fan. I've never heard anything about that. I never liked their music or anything like that. And I never thought too much of him. One of my cult favorite movies is Constantine.
Okay, sure.
I don't know what it is. I just love that darn movie.
It's visually stunning.
It really is really just a fun. If you like action movies and everything.
And the yin-yang of Keanu's appearance with Tilda Swinton's, you know, it's visually stunning.
You got nothing but fantastic actors. Yeah. Peter Stormare comes in at the end and just kills it. It's
visually
awesome.
Stunning.
Gavin Rossdale, I thought, was really good in it. I thought he did a good job. Felt hailed his own. And there was recently, Billy Corgan from the Smashing Pumpkins has a wonderful podcast.
I love him. Anyway.
He brought him on, and they had a really, like, not knockout, dragout kind of, like argument, but just a real talking out about intense discussion. Hey, I didn't like you. Well, I didn't like you. And I thought it was really cool to see. Like, it was very, like...
To see two grown dudes just talk it out.
Yeah, and kind of, at the end of it, kind of be like, you know, you're all right.
You know, I don't mind this. This
it was
is
pretty cool.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. That's really, really cool. Now I want to watch that.
One of the better character actors of both of our generations, Kevin Pollak, is 68. You may not know his name, but you know him. I guarantee it. Yeah. Maybe you know him as one of the attorneys in A Few Good Men, one of the key members of A Usual Suspects, the whole nine yards, the wedding planner. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of people remember him from Grumpy Old Men as the kind of love interest of Kim Basinger, the daughter in it. I can't think of her name now. I'm not going to be helpful.
I'm sorry.
Kevin Pollak.
Looking at me for help, and I don't have it.
Yeah, that's all right. Kevin Pollak, great, 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 great actor.
Okay.
Let's see here. Harry Hamlin, 74. L.A. Yeah. Law. Clash of the Titans is what I know
Clash
him from.
Clash of the Titans is what I think of, too.
Man, he rocked that movie. He was great
in that
movie.
It's such a weird little movie, but I love it. Oh, I love it.
It is a quintessential must if you are an 80s or 90s kid.
Yeah, and it's just, again, I love camp.
The legend, Henry Winkler, is 80 today.
Oh, how cool.
Fonzie.
Happy birthday to the Fonz.
Now, one of the reasons I call him a legend is certainly here in Wisconsin. He is. Happy Days alone would put him on this mark. But Henry Winkler loves to act, loves to perform. And after playing Fonzie, and he jumps the shark literally and all that and creates that whole phrase and all these things, he dealt with some of the heaviest typecasting any actor has ever had to fight through. And worked and tried. It could not get any breaks. And then eventually, a little bit later on, this guy, Adam Sandler, comes around and is like, hey, I want you in my movies. I want you in my things. And Henry Winkler's like, really? I get to work again? So then all of a sudden, he not only starts to get to work, but he starts doing comedy. And it branches off from doing that to Arrested Development, to you know, all these other projects where Henry Winkler goes from, at one point in his career, being the coolest person on the on TV, at least.
Yeah.
To being one of the funniest people on TV.
Right. Well, the Fonz was the definition of cool. He wasn't just the coolest person in anything. He just was cool, what cool meant. And then he just became hilarious.
That arc is one of the most unique arcs you'll ever see in acting. Mm-hmm. You'll ever see. And it is all about perseverance, because Henry Winkler, you know, if he doesn't keep fighting to work because he loves it so much, mm-hmm. he doesn't work for Adam Sandler. He doesn't do all these things. We don't get him on Arrested Development.
No, we don't. God, I would have missed that so much.
Worst attorney ever.
Worst attorney ever.
I love Henry Winkler so much. Even if you're not on social media, he's worth following. Like, creating an account just to follow Henry Winkler is worth it. I'm not even exaggerating. It really is. It is just a palate cleanser every day. He's out fishing. He's showing you just random things in his life.
Oh, who's the other one that's that for me? I can't think of his name. He's the one who played Inigo Montoya.
Mandy Patinkin.
Thank you, Mandy Patinkin.
Same thing.
His social media is also that for me.
Only difference is Mandy, his wife,
is
He does a little more political stuff. Yeah, but his wife, Mandy's wife, has always seemed like
she's
involved in it.
It's like your grandma and grandpa having social media. It's so cute. I love it.
If it's all I did on social media, I'd be good.
If that's all we were doing. Yeah.
Ugh. Otis Williams is 84 today, the last surviving member of the Temptations.
Oh, happy birthday.
Just My Imagination, Papa's Rolling Stone. I mean, I love Seth's line about between the Four Tops and the Temptations. His favorite is whichever one he heard last. You can't choose.
No, it's, fair enough.
They're both amazing. Mm-hmm. And the legend herself, Grace Slick, is 86 today.
Oh, I love her.
Jefferson Airplane, Starship, just especially, again, between our generations, that woman rocked it.
Just a powerhouse.
Side note, Midwest zone, Chicago zone.
Naturally.
And a very...
She oozes Chicago. Are you kidding me?
Yeah,
it's so obvious.
Yeah. And a pretty good artist. Like, yeah. She does some great paintings and some things like mm-hmm. that. She's gotten into some other stuff.
No, huge fan. Somehow yet underrated. Love her.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, she is. And that is going to do it for our birthday and anniversary list. We appreciate everybody getting us these names. Keep them coming, everybody. And looking forward to tomorrow's. We encourage you to head on over to El Cafe and celebrate with them. We'll be back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you. Thanks for hanging out with us. Got some good stuff to get into before the top of the hour. One of them I've been dying to get into, but I've been trying to get to for a little bit here. There was a time when DIY Halloween costumes were really only something you'd see... once in a while, with trick-or-treaters or something like that. But that has changed, flipped,
mm-hmm.
where now most costumes are DIY. My sister, as an example, has two kids.
Mm-hmm.
One of them she got a costume for, the other one she made.
Right.
There's a lot of families like that.
Mm-hmm.
The Halloween and Costume Association, and that is a real thing.
Thank goodness. Someone ought to be doing that work.
Says tariffs on Chinese imports have sent the industry into a full freak-out mode.
Yeah.
Most costumes in the U.S. come from China, and stores are scrambling to fill shelves without terrifying shoppers at the register.
Right.
And this isn't, we're not talking like a buck or two here.
No.
Costumes that were $20 are now pushing $40. And even masks that were $5 are now $10.
Mm.
No word on if you can breathe through them or not.
This point, it's irrelevant.
Yeah, right. A man named Robert Berman is the president of a leading U.S. costume manufacturer, and he's concerned. Mm-hmm. He says, quote, Halloween isn't like other holidays. If products don't land on time or become too expensive for families, Halloween simply doesn't happen. There is no backup plan.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a huge concern because while not everybody is into Halloween or what have you mm-hmm. or anything, you can say a very similar thing for our big December holidays.
Sure.
But that is where a lot of the concern is coming, whether we're talking about Hanukkah or Christmas or just New Year's.
I don't think I've heard enough people concerned about Thanksgiving.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about it, a tiny little bit. We mm-hmm. have not even begun to talk about that yet. That mm-hmm. is coming. That day is coming. A man named Robert, this man named Robert Berman is talking about this along with other things. Mm-hmm. Now, a little bit different with those other holidays that there tends to be a backup plan in mind in some ways. Mm-hmm. But we don't see it the same with Halloween. And in a statement, Spirit Halloween said, quote, more than 90% of seasonal merchandise for Halloween and Christmas is imported from China. As a result, the impact of tariffs on these products will be significant. Mm-hmm. Like many realtors, we are working hard to manage these challenges.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you can't even just say DIY unless you're literally sewing it yourself. Because they're talking about even the cost of the base item, right? So, like, let's say I wanted to just buy a simple dress that I was building an entire clown costume on, right? That dress is still going to cost almost twice as much. And that is immediate cost difference. Mm-hmm. Even if I had every other ingredient for the costume already in my house, that's almost $20 more than I was planning on spending.
If
it's like real money.
When these topics come up, you've got a good portion of people who are going to listen and are going to hear things out. And you've also got a good portion of people that as soon as this topic, the word tariff comes up, they've already got their mind made up.
Yeah.
They don't care what stats you throw at them. They don't care what you tell them. You don't care how many facts you tell them.
Because I'm being unreasonable wanting to buy a costume.
I'm saying on both ends of this, mm-hmm. This topic can be there and stuff. So I think that that's noteworthy, but I also think it's noteworthy that numbers don't lie.
Mm-mm.
Numbers don't have a political party. Mm-mm. Numbers don't care about your Mm-mm. feelings. They just are. Mm-mm. And we talk about this in sports a lot. Stats, numbers don't lie.
Yeah.
The stats are there. Things are more expensive. These mm-hmm. tariffs are not helping.
Nope.
And this is a game of chicken that people with money are playing, that the people that are the chickens, the vehicles, are us.
Mm-hmm. Like, no, we're going to be the collateral damage.
Yeah, they're not hurting.
No, wealthy are going to be fine. The top 1% are going to be fine. It's everyone else that is going to just be collateral damage. They do not see value in us.
I am not going to stop bringing this up. How can politicians relate to us? How mm-hmm. are they suffering? What are mm-hmm. they struggling with? Because I'm not seeing or hearing anything.
No.
I see no relatability with any single one of these individuals right now.
Right. To the point where some of the people that they're listening to, that their idea people, have said some awful things about the general public as if they're just video game characters that yeah. don't actually have families or lives or are real.
They're in these bubbles and they're living in these worlds that mm-hmm. we don't know anything, like we can't relate to, and they can't yeah. relate to us.
We're nothing like, more than a tick in some data.
Yeah. It's only getting more and more of a distance between us and that.
Yeah,
and it's not
gross. It's
not
going to
end well. I will be following this, seeing where this goes.
Mm-hmm.
I will say a big tip of that the witch hat to all the families out there that found a way to make Halloween happen this
yep.
year. That's awesome. Congratulations.
In my experience, that's most of them.
Because
I don't know very many families who said they couldn't make Halloween happen this year.
There are plenty of adults that are suffering, plenty of families that are feeling this, but mm-hmm. kids are caught up in all of this, and we are failing as adults when mm-hmm. kids hurt, when kids something happens to kids. You can go ahead and bark all you want, but I did this, but I did that. Nope, you're a part of society. You're an adult. It's on you too.
It is. Kids shouldn't have to be the collateral damage either.
Nope.
They have absolutely no power to say or do anything to stand up for themselves. And so it's on the adults to figure it out.
I'd like to know, a kid's perspective of that as much as I would this next topic, Laura.
Oh, bring it.
Have Halloween decorations become too scary?
All right.
When it comes to Halloween, there are two kinds, a couple of different types of people.
Sure, I think.
Those who believe that things are getting more intense in recent years, and those who are kind of babysitting kids and maybe seeing, maybe it's not as intense as it could be or something. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of different people in different
ways. Sure. There's the Grim Reaper Halloween people and Casper the Friendly Ghost Halloween people.
There's a new article in the New York Times that asks, have Halloween decorations become too scary?
And
mentions things like Skelly and the huge Halloween skeletons that have been popping up everywhere.
I love them. I think they're spectacular.
Along with very lifelike witches and demons mm-hmm. and blood and gore and all this. They talked to some parents who have young kids who like the classic Halloween imagery, pumpkins, witches, ghosts, spiders, mm-hmm. Those things. And they feel like today's dismembered bodies and moving speaking props and different mm-hmm, things mm-hmm. have maybe gone too far. There are also neighbors who complain about the decorations in their neighborhood being too violent and unsettling. Some adults even admit that they have been rattled by some of the modern decorations.
Okay.
Although others say it's possible that they were always there, they just didn't notice them as much when they were kids.
And that's possible too, because when I was a kid, if I didn't like it, I just didn't look.
When I was a kid, the scary stuff was like the toys that you would play on at McDonald's or Burger King or something like that. Like the
hamburger just a merry-go-round.
Grimace's thing.
Grimace.
It was just it's not about Grimace.
Okay,
it's
okay,
about the toy.
Oh, sure.
The Grimace's thing was just this big cage that you got in, and it was nothing but steel and
you know what? No, that's horrifying. You're right.
All the playground equipment that we grew up
in
on.
The play place.
Yes, the merry-go-round. Go look at some of the old merry-go-rounds.
Those
and
metal
everything.
Ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Flinging kids off at 25 miles per hour.
That's where all the scary stuff was. Halloween. I don't really remember there being anything too scary other than like houses that would have their own haunted house inside mm-hmm. or something like that, and maybe some schools when they had a Halloween thing and you put your hand in the grapes or whatever and stuff. I don't know. I there is something, and I don't mean to be Jimmy Serious on this, but there is.
All right, Jimmy Serious,
this is, I mean, what did you think was going to happen? Like, look at our news. Look at the way we cover things. Look at our whole lives growing up at 5 o'clock. There's blood and gore on the TV.
Things are darker nowadays.
With the news. Well, and the news cycle, that's all it does now. Mm-hmm. Like it leads with the negative stories.
It's an outrage machine.
And so that's what that's all kids are seeing on the news. Mm-hmm. That's all they're seeing in newspapers and all these things. And then you're going to worry about what a Halloween costume is or a Halloween decoration
is. Right. You're going to worry about Skelly in the neighbor's yard.
I mean, I think you might want to worry.
I don't even care if they painted some of Skelly red to look like he's bloody. It's still, you know, it's Halloween, guys.
Like, I mean, I feel like in life, one of the biggest things you got to do is choose your battles wisely. And if you want to, you want to get bent out of shape about something, for one, neighborhoods should know neighbors. And if you know your neighbors, you know the audience. Okay, I can get away with this. Okay, I can't get away with that. Maybe talk to your neighbors
and figure it out. Talk to your neighbor if they're doing something that bothers you a little bit. And if they're not receptive, that's on them. That's not on you.
If you're really worried about the kids, I mean, I think there's some other things you ought to be focusing on before worrying about Halloween decorations.
Right?
I think there's bigger fish to fry than just, you know, a big 20-foot skeleton sitting out front.
And honestly, that skeleton is an investment.
You want one of those, don't you?
So bad. I don't even know what I would do with it. You know what I would do with it? I would put it where there once was a very tall pine tree that nearly fell on my house the first year I moved in. That's where I would put Skelly, and he would live there year round.
We will take a quick time out. We'll come back, wrap up the first hour of the morning show. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Laura and James hanging out with you.
Yeah.
Thanks for hanging out with us. This is, we're going to take it right to the top of the hour. 10 o'clock hour, we're going to kick off with our pet of the week from the Suffolk County Humane Society.
Yeah, we are. They just got here and they're so cute.
Denise has already got a furry friend in the building with us. Looking forward
to pet it.
Discovering what that is. And we're excited about the 10 o'clock hour kicking off with not only our pet of the week, but some entertainment news, mm-hmm. and some other fun stuff we got lined in there. Like, if you're planning to dress up for work at for Halloween, we got a guide for you. Got some tips, helpful things for you on that one. All that coming up, but right now, how many of us think pets enjoy wearing Halloween costumes?
I do think this is individual to the pet.
I think so, too. I think so, too. But we go into the survey, and I thought this was just a perfect one to lead into our pet of the week.
Oh, absolutely.
A new poll found 1 in 6 Americans believe that their pet likes wearing a costume for Halloween.
Okay.
1 in 6. 16%, or around 1 in 6, think pets really do enjoy dressing up for Halloween.
All
right. A full 40% think that they either like it or least don't mind.
There. That's where I land, I think.
The poll didn't distinguish between cats and dogs, but dogs are a little bit more receptive, it looks like. But they just also, they have no poker face. Dogs just wear everything on their sleeve.
Right.
16% think pets like or love dressing up. 24% think that they're, 45% said that they definitely don't like it, and 12% are not sure, or 15% are not sure.
Okay, I wonder if that 15% maybe just has never done it before. I can say, as someone who, when I got my last dog, thought that dog clothes were the most ridiculous thing, and it was owners forcing their dog to do things, and then by the time he died, became fully a dog sweater supporter because he loved them so much. I can tell you that some dogs really don't mind. And if the costume is not cumbersome, the dog probably doesn't mind it.
So I've known a couple of dogs, including a wonderful, wonderful shelter dog that couldn't have been sweeter, but would put on a costume and literally shake it off or try to bite it off or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But you put a sweater on them, and that they enjoyed.
That's what I'm saying. If it's not cumbersome, if you're able to, you know, find a dog costume that your dog doesn't mind wearing, you can do it. I mean, you'll know if they don't. They'll take it off.
I think you get a real good idea, too, of how you are as a pet owner or, or parent or whatever words you want to use. When are you doing the costume because it's funny to you and you want to make people laugh or you enjoy it? Or this is the costume that my pet liked the most or
it's a compromise
best,
and that's okay.
Yeah. Around a third of Americans have dressed up a pet before or plan to do it this year. And social media shoulders a lot of the blame for this.
Yeah. I never dressed up Bub, but I did get him seasonal sweaters.
Yeah, I think that's great. I think that's good. Even with more Halloweens under their belt, just 18% of seniors have dressed up a pet compared to 35% of Gen Zers.
Okay.
There is the top trending dog costumes right now. This are Labubu and,
of course,
Derpy the Tiger from K-Pop Demon Hunters.
What a fantastic character.
I have no idea the words I just said.
It's the big blue tiger that, like, delivered demon mail. I don't know how else to describe him.
Google.
I preferred the raven friend.
Google's Frightgeist has the complete list for you. Overall costumes this year for kids, Rumi, Zoe, Mira, the
Naturally.
K-Pop Hunters are all at the top there. Mm-hmm. And then you've got some of the characters like Elphaba from Wicked, the Lorax.
Of course. Oh, the Lorax is a good one.
I like seeing the Lorax still show up in there. Ooh, Nightwing, cool.
I want to see like a really fuzzy terrier dressed up as the Lorax. I think that would be spectacular. If you've got a ginger-headed terrier.
Glinda the Good Witch, Gabby from Gabby's Dollhouse, Supergirl, and then just in there, Ladybug. Just
Naturally.
A ladybug. Just a ladybug costume.
Yeah.
Just throw it in there in the mix. I love that. That's awesome.
Yeah, I got to see a Pity as a banana.
One thing that is kind of interesting is so many of these are also the most popular costumes for our pets.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I would think if you're doing a whole Wizard of Oz thing,
yeah.
I mean, you got this all laid out for you, right?
You do, because you have all the characters. Well, same with the K-pop Demon Hunters, right? Like, you have a pet that you dress up as Derpy, and you've got everybody.
Mm-hmm. Now, I would...
It's an ensemble costume.
It would be
ensemble.
It would be, yes, I love the ensemble thing. I've never gotten to do that. I think that's fun. One of the things that I think would be fun about the Wizard of Oz thing, but would also might be tough, do you dress up the dog as
Toto
or the Cowardly Lion? Because I like the idea of the dog being the Cowardly Lion. I don't know.
Depends
I like that.
On the dog, because if you have a Weimaraner, you're going to want to dress it up as the Tin Man.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like the idea of changing it up a little bit there. That's fun. What are you guys dressing up as? What are you going to be? Let us know. 715-424-2600. You can also call or text us through the Civic Media app.
It's true.
If you're dressing up for work, not only let us know what you are doing or anything, but also be listening next hour.
Yeah.
We got some tips and some advice about that one.
Yeah, we do.
That's all coming up for you. And as we continue to wrap up celebrating Halloween this week and everything, I want to remind everybody that nobody does Halloween like we do at WFHR.
Mm-mm.
We got our WFHR Halloween show, I think our second year of doing this,
possibly our third.
5 to 8 this Friday. Tune in to WFHR 97.5 FM or 1320 AM to hear our special shows filled with spooky stories, scary songs, and creepy poems.
Yeah, all of them are read by staff here at WFHR. HR and WIRI, so you're going to get to hear us.
Yeah, yeah. We had a lot of fun with this one. The whole team got involved in it.
Mm-hmm.
We've got some new ones from last year that are in this year. And
then Seth threw it all together yesterday.
Yeah. Shout out to him and the great work that he does on that. And I really appreciate what you brought up early on in this. Because I didn't think about it right away because, you know, I'm handing out candy. I'm not running around like I used to.
Yeah.
This is the time for trick-or-treating.
It is. It's perfect. It's going to be playing all throughout the trick-or-treating hours for the area. So you can turn it on, get to your trick-or-treating, and listen to spooky stories and scary songs as you go on your trick-or-treating way.
It's your perfect soundtrack for your trick-or-treating.
Perfect.
Be sure to check that out, everybody. That'll be a lot of fun. Laura, I did want to... Okay, I got to throw
this one in there. Let's do it.
Just real quick.
Okay.
And I am I do this with
He's
our co-hosts from time to time.
Yep.
Where I see a story and I have
and
not
just,
read
you
it.
You got to do it.
Yes.
All right, let's do it.
The headline, Emo Chick Deer with Hammock Wrapped in Antlers Spotted in Texas.
You did the right thing.
This deer has been being called an emo deer, and it's got a bunch of stuff stuck in
its like
antlers.
It's like he's got a mop stuck in his antlers, and it's looking like emo hair covering his eye a little bit. It's very... fantastic.
The Texas Police Department shared video of the deer spotted with a hammock wrapped around its antlers. Officials said that the emo chick accessory to fall it off on its own.
Emo chic.
Emo chic. Yes. Thank you. Yes. The Lago Vista Police Department said on social media that multiple locals have contacted authorities to report the deer and worried about it.
Mm-hmm.
But wildlife officials have said the safest, best way to handle this for this particular deer.
Just let him do his thing.
It's going to fall off.
It's going to rot off at minimum. It looks like it's natural fibers. Yeah.
And so they're not too worried about it.
No.
It's not holding the deer up.
Deer will be fine. It's just kind of an accessory.
It looks kind of like the deer doesn't even notice, really.
Over it at this point.
I feel like I don't know nearly enough about deer and their antlers and the connection, like how much they feel or think or feel or feel
right.
from those or whatever.
Well,
it
may have been a matter of, you know, he got it up there. It's not in his way. He's done thinking about it.
Not just that. The department, the hammock's resemblance to a certain early 2000s hairstyle and everything. Quote, he's been spotted proudly wearing this hammock tangled in his antlers.
He did seem proud.
And while his forest core fashion has raised some eyebrows, rest assured he's totally fine. He's okay.
Yeah.
Male deer naturally shed their antlers before the end of winter, which means his emo chic accessory will fall off.
You're right. All going to fall off. It'll be fine.
That's interesting.
And like I said, it looks like it's natural fibers, so it's not even really, you know, going to harm the environment.
He's going to be all right. Yeah. We're going to talk more animals with our Pet of the Week coming up.
This is Locally Grown Radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248 DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media.